This is Word of Mouth from NHPR. I'm Virginia Prescott. In 2002, two young men committed a number of robberies, stealing and eventually selling more than $8,000 worth of weapons and other equipment. It wasn't an ordinary B&E, though. These crimes were committed entirely online, inside the popular 2012 video game Diablo III. Understanding how to prosecute crimes that take place in digital world is complicated. For example, should the theft of virtual equipment in an online game be a felony? Or should it be considered more leniently than robberies committed in what we conventionally call real life? Kashmir Hill is senior editor at Fusion's Real Future column, where she wrote about how prosecutors dealt with the case and joins us now for more. Kashmir, welcome to Word of Mouth.
Hi, thanks for having me on.
So how exactly did these two young men rob other players in the game?
So the way that they did this is one of them was in California, the other one was in Maryland, and they had met through a gaming chat platform called TeamSpeak. And the one in California named Patrick apparently hatched this plan. And the way that it would work is that he bought something called a RAT, a remote access tool. And he and his colleague in Maryland named Michael would send players in the game a link. And they said, oh, this is an image of a really rare item in the game. You should click on it. And when other players clicked on the link, they would download this RAT. And the RAT would let Patrick take over control of their computer. Mm. He would go in, he would take over their video game character and get it to start shaking so it dropped all of its goods. And then Michael would be hanging out nearby in his character form, and then he would swoop in and grab the items that had just been dropped, and so they would essentially steal them. Then Diablo, this particular video game, was kind of rare in that it had an in-game marketplace where you could buy and sell the weapons and armor and gold for the in-game currency or for real money. So according to prosecutors, they then took these weapons and armor to the marketplace, and they would sell it for real money. And according to prosecutors, they made over $8,000 this way.
How did law enforcement then get involved?
So the people who were playing Diablo started complaining to Blizzard, the entertainment company that runs this game, saying, hey, you know, something weird just happened. I dropped all of my goods and I think I got hacked. Somebody stole my stuff. And so Blizzard went to the prosecutors.
And Blizzard is the maker of the game.
It's the maker of the game. And they said, hey, something weird is happening here. They were actually able to very easily, unlike victims of crime in the real world, Blizzard was able just to recreate the digital goods that had been stolen from these people. So they weren't really victims in that way, in that they immediately got their stolen stuff back. Mm-hmm. But prosecutors still considered this a crime, you know, a virtual theft, and were especially concerned about the use of this hacking tool, the RAT.
But there were still consequences. What happened to Michael and Patrick?
So they were identified. I'm still a little hazy on how the FBI figured out who they were. It may have been Blizzard itself because they would have IP information. But the prosecutors in LA filed charges against both of these players. And the kind of big charge that stuck was for unauthorized access to computers. So they said, oh, you know, you shouldn't have been accessing other players' computers. And then basically any crime that touches a computer server, a company's server, so in this case Blizzard's, when you do something wrong, it becomes unauthorized access. Mm-hmm. So rather than being charged with robbery or assault, which they were doing virtually, they were charged with unauthorized access. And then both of these guys ended up accepting plea deals where they have to pay back Blizzard 3 years of probation. And in one case, the guy in Maryland had to do community service.
In the scale of American crimes, $8,000 may not be that much, but it's a really interesting case in that it's happening in the virtual world. Yet the case didn't get any real press back in 2012. Do you have any idea why?
I'm not sure why it didn't get attention. I just kind of make a habit of calling prosecutors and asking about interesting cases. So it came onto my radar. And the two men involved were, you know, these are guys, they're like young guys in their 20s, were really surprised that I found it, that the court records were available. But, you know, even though it was just a virtual theft, they both are now felons. When they apply for a job, they have to admit that they have criminal records and explain that they were, stealing virtual goods from somebody.
Patrick declined to speak to you, but you did speak with Michael Stinger. Did you get a sense of, besides having a tough time having a job, whether he felt any remorse for what he did or what he thought of his punishment?
People always have complicated stories. He says that they never actually were able to sell their goods. He said that they did not, in fact, make $8,000 because Blizzard pretty quickly realized what was happening and basically shut them out of the game. So they couldn't sell the digital booty that they had accumulated. So that was interesting. But I think he feels really scarred by this whole thing, that he thought he was just in a game. He says he didn't know that his accomplice in this was actually hacking people's computers. He thought it was just a glitch in the game, and goods were falling on the ground, and then he was getting to collect them. And that's what you do in these games. You're fighting with people, you're trying to get their goods. So I think for him, those lines had really blurred between what's allowed in the game world and what's okay in real life. And I think this is something that always happens. This is why people can be so mean online and say horrible things to each other, because you don't think about it as real life.
Well, there are so many other crimes related to online gaming. We think of swatting, where gamers call SWAT teams on others and watch the drama unfold on camera. Many threats against female gamers and game critics. Any sense, Kashmir, of how law enforcement is planning to prosecute these kind of online crimes and investigate them?
I think it's difficult when the people who commit the online crimes are savvy about disguising who they really are, because there are so many tools out there that can make it very difficult to track down who did it. And it varies from prosecutor office to prosecutor office, but they still don't see, online crimes as concerning as ones that affect us in the real world. And especially when it comes to like the psychological effects, prosecutors, when they're looking at cases, usually are more concerned when there's a financial aspect to the case where people have actually lost money. And so they tend to take those cases over ones where people have just suffered psychological harm. So that's really been difficult in terms of these harassment cases online.
So the Diablo robbery was in 2012, finally prosecuted in 2014. What do you think? You're in this field. Do you see these kinds of prosecutions becoming more common, or are we still a long ways away from really knowing how to deal with online crime?
We're spending more and more of our time online, and so more crimes are starting to be committed there. And I do see law enforcement being interested in that. Law enforcement sees crimes moving online, and they're trying to follow them there. They just are, it takes them a while, so they're a few years behind. But I suspect that we will see more cases like this one that seem kind of weird and novel now, but it'll become more normal. Especially, video games are big business. Video game players can make a lot of money, and so it can really hurt them financially when they're swatted in the middle of a match, or when the servers are DDoSed because somebody is trying to throw a match. So I do suspect we will see more weird online crimes like this being prosecuted.
Well, I guess we'll be speaking with you again then, Kashmir.
I hope so.
Thanks for your time.
Thank you.
Kashmir Hill, she's senior editor at Fusion's Real Future column. You can read her article about the Diablo III prosecutions at wordofmouthradio.org.